Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 695. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is somewhere around. He was in the room here, but I don't know where he went. He's snooping around. He's being like an agent. He's the three-legged kitty cat that is going to pounce on me at any moment. He probably went back downstairs, but he was in here. It's not too long before I generally clean out his litter box and then brush him and do all that jazz. So he's probably going to be expecting that here soon, as I'm sure he will let me know when he wants that to happen. He's quite vocal when it comes to that sort of thing. It's going to be a rough one for me tonight. I'm pretty tired. I am continuously still on overtime, which this is generally the slow time of year for my job. So it's I don't know when or if this overtime is going to end. But I will muscle through. I will muscle through because it's what I do. It's what I do. I took an extra Red Bull earlier. I may have waited a little too long to record after doing it because I think it's already coming out of my system. As I am crashing. And I have not gone to the gorilla mine because that, of course, sounds like madness. That is not something I really want to try. But the cans are cool. The cans are cool. I'll give them that. I wouldn't touch the shit, but I'll give them the cans are cool. On the plus side of things, though, in better news, I have heard some reports that might lead me to believe that I just might make it to my 50s. Not anything that doctors have told me personally. You see, cancer runs in my family, mainly in my dad's side. But, you know, I mean, it's fucking in everybody's family, I do believe. But it's had a tendency to kill a lot of Albrechts in their 40s. It's just kind of a thing. Not one specific cancer, many various cancers, but, you know, since I'm 44, same age as Philip Rivers, who's about to start for the Cardinals, the Colts, I don't know what I'm saying, Cardinals, the Indianapolis Colts, which I was never really a Philip Rivers fan, but knowing that he's coming back at 44 and he's not in shape, I'm rooting for him. Because, you know, I do an extremely physical job. I want to, you know, lie to myself and say that I can be able to do this forever. So seeing somebody be able to play in the NFL and they're well, in, you know, into their mid-40s, I'm like, come on, let's do it. And, you know, I'm a Colts fan. I like the Colts. So, and, you know, they were doing really good before their starting quarterback got injured. They've got this horrible thing since, you know, basically Andrew Luck, since he got injured and, like, retired early. They really haven't kept a quarterback, starting quarterback, for very long. You know, I mean, and Andrew Luck, really, what did he have, like, three good seasons before, like, the injuries really sidelined him? And before he was, like, I don't remember how many years he played, but it was, I mean, a simple Google search would tell me. But that's too much work. you know, Peyton Manning, though, was there for many years. And, you know, they did pretty well. They won one Super Bowl, went to two with Manning. You know, then he got fucking injured. That really bad neck injury. And probably should, let's be honest, probably should have retired at that point. But he did come back and then go to the Broncos. Went two Super Bowls again, you know, with the Broncos. And then won one, which... That last Super Bowl he won, you know, I'm a Manning fan. Love me some Peyton Manning. But to be honest, I mean, he didn't win that Super Bowl. Yeah, he was the quarterback, and he missed several games. I forgot how many games in that last season he was in. But he didn't have the arm strength anymore. I mean, the injuries had taken its toll by that point, and it was all the Broncos defense that won it for him that season. I mean, the season that he did go to the Super Bowl and lose with the Broncos, oh, he was tearing it up. He was lighting it up. He was, it looked like old Peyton Manning. But I digress. The point I was getting at is I've seen some news stories that there is a vaccine. It's not been approved yet. You know, it's, from my understanding, just in trials with mice and whatnot. I don't believe there has been any tests on humans, but there is a vaccine that appears to work against several of the big cancers, which I got a report right here. We'll go on Harvard's website, cs.harvard.edu, on their news here. It says, clinical trial of personalized cancer vaccine demonstrates feasibility, safety, immune activation. Now, I got to say, knowing that, you know, people, you know, in my dad's side of the family here tend to die in their 40s of cancer. Knowing that there's possibly a vaccine that I could put into my vein and, you know, main vein it and possibly avoid dying of cancer. I mean, I'd suck somebody's dick. I'd toss their salad, you know, I'm going to have some, I'm not going to just, you know, go to a rape van, like a panel van, and go up to, and somebody's like, yeah, oh, I got your cancer vaccine here. I'm going to need to see some, you know, evidence that this is possibly going to work before I toss your salad and all. But, you know, I'm willing. I'd be willing to do some pretty bad shit, you know, that I wouldn't really be into. But I would do for the sake of getting a jab of the of a vaccine that would prevent me from getting, say, you know, prostate cancer, you know, lung cancer, whatever kind of cancer, any kind of cancer, really. I'll do it, man. Anyway, this article, let's get back to that. A path to future immunotherapies, assessing biomaterial-based cancer vaccines in combination with checkpoint blockade inhibitors. That is a mouthful and then some, quite the tongue twister. The first in-human clinical phase trial assessing the feasibility and safety of WDVAX, an immunostimulatory biomaterial-based cancer vaccine in a cohort of 21 patients. Okay, so they have worked on this a little bit with people. With stage 4 metastatic melanoma was concluded with positive outcomes that encourage future vaccine developments and trials to test them in combination with immune checkpoint inhibitor therapies. The novel vaccine concept originated in the laboratory of David Mooney, the Robert P. Pincus Family Professor of Bioengineering at SEAS. C's, I'm guessing that stands for something. together with his group at the Weiss Institute, Mooney and colleagues advanced the novel immunotherapy solution through a series foundational studies, in addition to the developing the capabilities needed to fabricate the biomaterial vaccines. Mooney's group, in collaboration with that Dr. Glenn Dranoff, who at the time was a associate faculty member and co-leader of Dana-Farber Cancer Institute's Cancer Vaccine Center, had carried out extensive preclinical studies to demonstrate the approach's efficacy. As this is a tough one. I feel like I should have maybe gone on some other website besides Harvard. Maybe it would be a little bit, you know, less fancy words and harder to pronounce shit. You know, it's layman's terms. Maybe there's the science studies for dummies here, something of that nature. Let's see here. The trial was initiated in 2013 by the Weiss Institute at Harvard University and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and led by Dr. F. Stephen Hody Jr., director of DFCI's Melanoma Center and professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Boy, is it just going to list all of the credentials to each each person, I guess, in this fucking article. I mean, I guess that helps me, like, okay, hey, there's somebody. There's somebody. I should believe in this. Anyway. The trial demonstrated that a precisely engineered biomaterial-based multi-component system is feasible to be consistently fabricated and applied to patients. The significant immune-activating functions of the monotherapy correlated with 43% of the patients exhibiting stable disease. Yeah, I mean, it's just like medical jargon to me. That's, holy fuck. You know, it didn't seem like that long of an article. It's not really, I guess. I mean, I could read the whole thing, but honestly, there's just Google search cancer vaccines and hit news. Like this one, it's just a lot of acronyms and whatnot in this article. I feel like it's just a bit redundant for me to read this whole thing here. But basically, I mean, it seems that there is some data, I guess you would say, that would suggest that perhaps these vaccines are, going after cancers. I know I've heard melanoma, obviously, is in that article. Breast cancer, I think, was one of them. And there was at least another one of the big ones that... But that's huge. Just melanoma and breast cancer, those are two huge things that would, save a lot of lives. Unfortunately, in this country, under RFK Jr.'s, leading the leading this country in health right now, it seems like they've already stripped funding for this sort of thing. And, very anti any kind of vax. Doesn't seem like we'll, be able to get our hands on this anytime soon in the U.S. But, I'd be willing to go to Canada. Preferably somewhere where they speak English. Although, I would imagine that plenty of doctors speak English in, like, say, Mexico and stuff. I speak a little Espanol, not much. Piquito. I'd really have to, but I'd prefer, to go to a place where I could easily speak the language. So if like, Ireland, the UK, somewhere, I'd be willing to go and spend that kind of money and then, possibly toss a salad to get this vaccine. Because again, it's with my family tree, it's really only a matter of time before I get one of these fucking cancers. Every time I get sick, I have to wonder, like, especially since I've really hit my 40s, really since I was probably about like 38, I started having, some health issues. I had a UTI that was really causing me some problems at like 38. Since then, like anytime I get sick, I'm like, is this it? Is this the one that's going to kill me? Is this it? And then, COVID happened. I'm like, holy fuck. Oh yeah, I'll risk getting autism or whatever, which I don't believe there's any real science that shows that vaccines cause autism. But I'm not a doctor. Do not take medical advice from me. But I'm just saying, man, if these things are saying that they will battle cancer, I mean, sign me up, man. Sign me up. That's Just hopefully I don't have to pay a fortune for it. Like, that's a thing. Because, I really don't want to die of cancer. Just, a horrible death of, just name a fucking cancer. I don't want it. I'd rather get hit by a bus or something. Then again, I haven't tried it. I'm going to just venture to guess that I don't want that. It seems horrible. I know that, I'm big into the hockey and I've been watching, this is the last couple seasons I've been watching pretty much every Blues game, like definitely this season. And, Kelly Chase, the, Blues legend that played, of course, during the time of Brett Hull. And of course they've got the Ice Guardians podcast together, and Kelly Chase is, he's battling, He's he just said the other day they do the hockey fights cancer in the NHL, and he had lost his sight and hearing for like a few days. Like his hearing, I don't think it was gone too long, but his, I don't know that his sight's like fully back, but I mean, he's, you know, it comes for us all, I think, if you live long enough. At least, you know, a doctor had told me when I had the UTI, Dr. Fritz had told me that as a man, if you live long enough, you're probably going to get prostate cancer. Not exactly a promising thing to hear already with my family history, you know, so. But it is exciting to know that there is possibly shit on the way. It would be just in the nick of time, according to my family timeline, for me to pop that in the vein and just go to town, go deep inside me. And, you know, if I had to go to Canada, I mean, I'm really just hoping for Canada because I want to go to Canada at some point. I mean, technically, I've been to Canada, but it was only at the airport in Toronto, which was a great airport. It's a massive fucking city. It's a cool airport. But I really want to go to Canada and be outside the airport. I'm wondering, though, because the crackdown in the U.S., because, again, we live in an authoritarian country that they're restricting movement in general. That I have heard stories that people that have emptied their phones and then gone through customs and had that shit, well, I don't know, customs, but security, like at airports, and then they find out that you've wiped your phone, that they are starting to charge people with shit. Which, like, what? If there's no sign of that you committing a crime, why, you know, what can you really charge with somebody with a crime if, again, you just cleared off your phone? Pretty crazy shit, you know? And I would think I might get into some trouble if, you know, I flew to Canada just to get vaccinated. I feel like that would be a red flag. That might get me. Although, you know, maybe they'll just deport me to Canada. Which I guess wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It would suck that I would lose the penthouse here and my awesome theater in the downstairs that I've created. Which I just, you know, I just fucking love that shit to death. It is just fantastic. You know, and you know, being able to work up there might be difficult. I don't know. I might just have to live at the airport for a while. But hey, I could potentially be cancer-free. Now, I haven't seen anything to suggest that Canada has this vaccine or anything yet, and I don't know how long it would take to go from trials and into just, you know, giving this out to the public. But man, that is huge. I have heard that there's been research too that, of course, when the which I know, just saying this shit, you know, there could be some person that's extremely anti-vax listening to this, like, that's all bullshit. All vaccines kill you. But from what I understand, that there was some promise to show that there were people with stage 4 cancer of various types, I believe, that after receiving the COVID vaccination, I don't know if it depended on which one you got, whether it be the Johnson & Johnson or one of the other two. Well, the ones you can get in America. I mean, there was, you know, the Chinese one, the Russian one. The Russian one, I think, was copied from one of the American ones. But there was several. Was it Moderna? And I don't even remember. I got the Johnson & Johnson, which was the one shot. And then I had, like, Moderna or something, or Pfizer, one of them. I don't recall. I do not recall. Anyway. apparently promising results that people that had stage 4 cancer and that survived longer than they thought that they would have, I suppose, after receiving the COVID vaccine. Again, I don't know any of the real details of that. Not a doctor myself, but, you know, I believe that, you know, the vaccines have done a lot of wonders. I mean, smallpox. was like one of the first vaccines, I think. And it's interesting how we've learned how the immune system works and how to combat viruses. Whereas with the smallpox, I believe, you know, it was a deadly disease when it first came all over us. Came inside of us? I don't know. When it had its reign of terror, I guess. But then somebody realized that cowpox, which was not deadly, a disease that people could get it and not get real terribly sick, that their immune systems would learn from, of course, fighting that virus. It would teach them how their, you know, your body and your immune system to attack then smallpox. So basically, you inject people with a different disease to fight another disease. It's kind of like Demolition Man. possibly the greatest Sylvester Stallone movie in history. Of course, where there's the John Spartan, Stallone's character, is unthawed in the future to go after Wesley Snipes, which his character's name eludes me at the moment. Somebody at work was saying that there was word that there was going to be a Demolition Man 2. I don't know how that's going to work, but everybody's old as shit now that's in it. Anyway, John Spartan says you got to send a maniac to catch a maniac, but that's, you know, sort of how at least the original vaccines worked. There's more to it now. Like, I don't know exactly how the mRNA vaccines work and such, but, you know, originally it was just taking one virus, injecting yourself one virus to basically beef up your immune system and fight the other shit. And so, you know, it doesn't look like that's what's going on with these cancer vaccines, I should say. It doesn't look like I'm getting some lower form of cancer. Let's just, you know, get the punch card of cancers going on. Let's start with an easy one and work our way up to melanoma and what have you, breast cancer. I don't think that's the case. I was pretty stoked when I did hear that there was, I'm not really seeing anything, you know, when I did hear that, you know, yeah, there's possibly a way to really fight cancer on a, you know, a, just, I mean, that's one of the biggest, you know, other than, you know, war and what have you, it's, you know, one of the most leading causes of death, you know, amongst people in general. I don't think there's anybody alive today that doesn't know someone that has died of cancer or that at least battled cancer, you know? Now I'm finding it hard to segue out of. I was very optimistic when just thinking that there was possibly a jab, an injection that could eradicate would be the way to describe that, but to fight cancer in general and to perhaps prevent it. I had other things I was going to talk about, but I'm really kind of really sidetracked at the moment by that. I am. You know, other than that, I got, you know, Christmas is only a couple of weeks away, which I'm pretty, the biggest exciting part for me for that is, of course, Stranger Things. Season 5, they are releasing the next 3 episodes to that on Christmas Eve, I believe. And then, of course, the finale will be on New Year's Eve, I believe they're releasing that. And unfortunately, I have other plans for New Year's Eve that I was not really planning on doing, but I did go to the dentist yesterday, and I have had a habit of eating Werther's Originals, the hard candy, sucking on them, you know, just sucking them on them. Oh, sucking on them. It works, you know, I have issues with, you know, I breathe in all kinds of horrible shit from welding, and it kind of helps. I have throat issues. I'm not quite the throat goat I used to be. I can't throat it like I used to. And, you know, having a lozenge of sorts, it helps that. Helps it really. And, you know, I was getting in the habit of doing that like at least once, twice a day, popping in Werther's. And I'm pretty sure that's why when I went to the dentist yesterday, I found out I had two cavities and I got to get that filled. I'm getting them filled on New Year's Eve. So far, that's my big plans for New Year's Eve. That's at like noon, though. So I don't have to work that day. And, you know, hopefully I'll do a little bit more that night. I'll watch Stranger Things, but, Jackman, you know, they usually have stuff going on over there at the old home of the Slapbox podcast, the former Slapbox bunker, of course, was there. And, you know, I haven't talked to them, but I'm thinking, you know, maybe they might do some board games or something that night. That's usually what we end up doing. I don't tie one on. Of course, the last time I tied it on was in Germany, you know, but when in Rome or in Munich, you drink yourself to a blackout on beer. Yeah, other than that, I just have like a drink or two. I don't really tie one on. And New Year's Eve, I've never been one to really, though I used to drink every weekend enough to where, you know, I black out a little bit. Blacking out was pretty rare, but I would drink to where I was drunk. And it, for whatever reason, New Year's Eve was never, I think maybe one New Year's Eve I did that. But for the most part, never really drank a whole lot on New Year's Eve. And I don't like being out on the roads at night, which is weird. You know, I used to work second shift and be out on the roads at times that people were drunk driving a lot. But for some reason, I always felt paranoid about driving New Year's Eve because of knowing how much people really drink on New Year's Eve. That day really bothered me about going home and driving, knowing that there's a bunch, you know, you're driving at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. New Year's Eve. And like, oh, man, there's probably some drunk fucker out here that could take my life quicker than cancer. I remember, of course, when I worked at Magnet on second shift, there was a period of time, the first 5 years I was there, I worked second shift, and we always had to work New Year's Eve, and there was many a night we had to stay till like 2 a.m. on New Year's Eve, so we were counting in the New Year. We'd get New Year's Day off, but only, you know, after working till 2 a.m. in the morning. We either worked till like right at midnight or like 2 a.m. And we'd go out at break at like midnight and then hear, you know, people shooting off fireworks and woo, like, yeah, great. I'm gonna drive home when you drunk bastards are on the road. That really bothered me. I shouldn't have to drive. Well, even if I do drive home New Year's Eve. After all that goes, I don't have very far to go, and roads I'll be driving on are very open. I should be able to see any drunk fucker pretty far away. I feel pretty confident on. I still feel like cancer is probably more of a way I'd go out than getting in a drunk driving accident. But that could happen any time of day, really, and anywhere. So. I can't rule that one out. I still think that there's a strong chance I'm going to go out like Elvis. I'm already older than he was when he died. But I spend more and more time on the toilet. There's a strong chance I'm just going to die on the shitter. I don't know if it's going to be a coronary or what. Push a little too hard. Pink sock myself to death. There was, oh man, speaking of pink socks, a friend of mine from work, I didn't personally witness this. I'm going to try not to say his name. I love him. He's a great guy. But this, you know, everybody's a little weird. We're animals. We're fucked up people. We do weird shit. But you know, hey, there's at least he's not, you know, killing anybody. I should preface it with that. I mean, he's not a violent person in any, although we play Call of Duty together. Anyway. Another guy I work on the line with had mentioned that he went to the bathroom and said friend that shall remain nameless was in there. We have, you know, a very rather large bathroom at work that has several stalls, quite a few stalls, and, you know, urinals. It's a big bathroom, you know. And said friend was... at the sink where you wash your hands, and we got the real thick, you know, I don't know, thick, but the brown paper towels on a roll with the, you know, you stick your hand under the sensor and it shoots the roll of paper out for you. Well, he was in the bathroom, and when the other guy I work with, who I'll leave his name out of this as well. I like him as well, but he's a good guy. Happened to notice said friend, was, you know, when there was, you know, of course, at the hand washing sink there, my Call of Duty friend, we'll just call him COD, COD friend, my COD friend was, of course, I played Call of Duty with him before working at my current job. So it was, you know, weird to meet him in person. I didn't even know what this fucking he looked like. Anyway. he was at the sink, not washing his hands. He was at the sink, taking paper towels, like multiple paper towels. And again, these are not like soft paper towels. They're, you know, like that brown paper towels that are almost like a, I don't know if I'd say construction paper, but they're not soft. You know, they're rough. They're rougher than normal paper towels. Than you would. They're not Bounty Picker, Quicker Picker Upper. You know, it's not. It's no Angel Soft. Of course, I don't know if they make paper towels, but you know they make really soft toilet paper. Anyway, he's taking these brown paper towels and wadding them up and like soaking them in water, and then proceeds to like after he'd get one, he'd get another and put it around it and just Again, I didn't witness this. This was like secondhand. This is hearsay on my part. but he's like just making a ball of this stuff. And, you know, the guy I work with on the line, my friend, who also shall remain nameless, we'll just say he's the one who knocks. We'll say that. if you catch that reference from the greatest TV show of all time, that might lead you down a path. His name's not Heisenberg, but it's sort of. Anyway, he came back and was telling us this on the line. And now I thought, not knowing anything past the wadding of the balls to make like basically a ball, I just thought, you know, he was, you know, we sometimes do a little horsing around at work, maybe mess with some people, you know, play a prank, what have you. it's been known to happen here and there. I assumed he was trying to fuck with somebody, you know, making like some wet, soggy ball out of paper towels to fucking hit somebody with at work. And I didn't really think much of it. Just thought much. And of course, my buddy that I went to Germany with hears this and he's like, well, I'm going to go straight up ask him what the fuck he was doing. So then he goes over and gets the 411, the real scoop, if you will. And apparently, now I haven't talked to said friend, but said COD friend, to, to give him some shit about it or, you know, more details. But apparently, according to, again, I didn't hear this part of the conversation either, what he had claimed he was doing was making his own wet wipes. I guess he has a problem with mud butt, you know? Like, he's got to make sure that, and not really hurt his ass once it's nice and soft. I got to say, like, even wet, those paper towels seem like a bad idea to wipe your ass with. Just saying. Also, you're probably going to clog the toilet like a motherfucker, even though those toilets do have quite the flush to them. I don't see how you're not going to clog the toilet flushing a bunch of fucking paper towels down it. It makes me paranoid to ever let him over here and use my bathroom. They're like, well, hey, don't be shooting any of your wet wipes down my toilet here, asshole. But yeah, that was after hearing that, man, that was several days ago now at, what was it? Shit. Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember what day. Maybe it was Thursday. But after hearing that, like I would, like, after work that day, I went and took a shower. And of course I shit before I shower, you know, and, it got to my head, like making these wet wipes. I couldn't stop laughing. It's like, I don't even know why that would like occur to do, you know, I've at home before, you know, taking like toilet paper if I'm having like some real serious mud butt, if it's really hard to like get in, you know, like you just keep wiping, it's like, man, there's still more stuff there. I'll take a little bit of toilet paper and just like dab, just like barely turn on the sink, dab a little bit, get it just slightly wet to get a little bit. So, you know, I can appreciate the use of a good wet wipe, but one, I definitely don't want to clog the toilet. I know how much of a pain it can be to clog a toilet enough to where you have to like snake it out and stuff. And I don't want to do that at all or to have to take the toilet off. You know, if you clog a toilet bad enough, basically you have to take the whole fucking toilet off. And that's just not something I want to do. So I'll deal, you know, I'll wipe my ass until it's bloody. Although that's not really generally a problem for me. I don't get mud butt a whole lot. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, I guess whatever I've been eating, it's like, holy shit, I'm going to have to wipe with the whole roll of toilet paper. Makes me really wish I had a bidet, but, you know, thinking about doing that in the bathroom, like, what, like, yeah, I just don't, like, it's just funny to think, like, you know what, I'm going to go wet a bunch of paper towels to wipe my ass with. And we were debating this, like, on the line, we're like, you know, how would, like, the thought process behind it, I'm a little confused. I'm going to have to talk to my friend. I haven't talked to him since he was off. He took off Friday and today, so I didn't have a chance to talk to him at work. He was on vacation. I've just a lot of questions. I know on the line we were like, if you wet it, wouldn't your like hand go through like the paper towel pretty easy and just rip, and then you got shit on your hand, you know? And that's one thing to do at home, you know, when you're got nothing in the way between you, the toilet where you're at, to the sink when you're right next to it anyway, not a big deal. But like when you're in a big, very large bathroom and you get shit covered on your hand, I mean, you can always wipe it off with some toilet paper and get it kind of clean and then go wash your hands. But man, you know, this this is the kind of stuff that makes me really not like using public restrooms. But there's just a lot to unpack there. That is the craziest thing, I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, the craziest thing I saw at work before, and I have no idea who did this. I don't think they work here there anymore. But this is, I saw at least 2 to 3 times in the bathroom. But upon going to the stall, which I always go to the stall even to pee, because they don't have like I wish they had like a shelf above the urinals, or, you know, a divider would be nice too. But there's none of that. And usually if there's no divider and stuff, you know, I'd rather not piss and just have to see some other dude holding his junk right next to me or, you know, staring at mine. Although I know that I doubt many guys are going to stare at my shit, but it's just, it's not. And also I have like my gloves and safety glasses with me. And when I go to the stall, there's a place for me to like put that stuff while I'm doing my business. And I don't get that at the urinal. So I go and use the stall, and I very rarely shit at work unless I really have to. It's I want the home bowl advantage, you know? I pay a lot for my mortgage each month, and I have two toilets. I want to use those. And, you know, maybe I'll use more water and have to pay for that, but, you know, I'm paying for those toilets. I want to keep them in use. And anyway, so the weirdest thing I saw on there was going into the bathroom and seeing a sandwich wrapper. This is, of course, in the stall. This is not near the urinal. Not that that makes it any better at whatsoever. Right next to the toilet, there was at least 2 to 3 times I've seen this. There was a sandwich wrapper, like a Lancashire sandwich, like one you would heat up in the microwave, that, of course, I would venture to guess somebody probably went when it wasn't break time. I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe their just preferred eating spot is right there on the shitter. Maybe they like to multitask and get put food in while pushing it out, you know? Just the circle of life right there. But yeah, there was at least 2 to 3 times where I saw an empty sandwich wrapper right next to the toilet. And like, you couldn't even destroy the evidence. I mean, the trash can's not that far away out of the fucking, out of the stall. They just wanted everybody to know, yeah, that's right. I'm a sick bastard. I am eating while shitting. Well, I'm going to venture to guess they probably weren't shitting while eating or pissing. Oh, maybe. You know, I'm guessing they probably, you know, sat down to kind of hide the fact that they were in there eating a sandwich. I would assume whoever did it, this is just this theory. I have nothing to back this up with. But I'm guessing that they, you know, we're in there when it wasn't break time, and like, I need to eat a sandwich, but I don't want anybody to see me like going to cook the sandwich and eating it. So they just went on the shitter to do it. But even if you're not in there shitting while you're eating that sandwich, there is shit particles in the air. And there's pretty much any time you go in there. Of course, I usually only go in there at a break time. And most of the time I go in there, there's at least 1 to 2 people in there shitting. You know, there's quite a few stalls in there. And that shit is literally in the air. And I feel like you're just asking to get E. coli. I mean, you're touching at least the door and stuff to come in. And you've got this sandwich. What are you, like, are you awesome? I doubt this person was bringing in, like, you know, hand sanitizer and cleaning their hands off after they touched the doors and everything in there before putting their hand on the sandwich and then, of course, putting it into their mouth. That's like ATM right there. That is like straight ass to mouth. That's that's some nasty shit, literally. There was an old job. This is, again, not something I witnessed. This is just what I heard secondhand, that this was not a one-off sort of situation. There was a woman that had worked there that used the women's restroom. Again, I was not spending any time in the women's restroom. I would like to point that out. She, for whatever reason, I guess she was real frugal. After wiping, she would save the toilet paper and then put it on the back of the toilet seat. Like, I'm guessing she must have had a massive wad. And just, you know, kept folding over that. And then, like, you know, I'm going to save that for later. I don't know if she's planning on taking it home or just saving it for work. I mean, she wasn't like a manager or anybody that would be buying the toilet paper. She didn't pay for that toilet paper other than the fact that I guess she worked. You could look at it as your labor paid for that toilet paper in a way. Got to get your money's worth out of it. But, you know, they're going to buy more toilet paper. If you use all the toilet paper that's in there, they will fill it up with more toilet paper. That never seemed to be a problem. But that was, you know, they had to have, I believe, several conversations with her before finally, I think she finally stopped. Again, this is many years ago, and I was not involved in the conversations. I was not a manager. There was no need to get me involved in that shit. People are weird. People are weird. Like, you know, I'm a weird person. I probably have some weird habits, but that is, again, one of the many reasons I'm like, you know, let's go for the home bowl advantage. The home bowl advantage. And it's hard for me to think ever end up living with someone again. Because, of course, when I lived, I lived for years, over a decade with Jackman and his family. And it was great. We got along and stuff. But it was, especially now that his kids are teenagers, I'm sure they're using the bathroom a lot more often. And like when I left, which was, you know, several years ago now, it was hard to get time alone, you know, in the bathroom. And I spend more and more time shitting. So it was getting awkward. I had a period of time there. It was two, three years, I guess, when the run store was around. I was printing shirts there. And I would go there and shit. There was the upstairs bathrooms that I basically had to myself. So there was two bathrooms in the upstairs, and I would be like, you know what? I'm going to go use the run store bathroom. It's got nice. Then it would be just a couple more years, before I would, get this place. And you know what? It's just, shitting with the masses just does not entice me. But I'm kind of having flashbacks of Germany now. Now, I didn't shit with Matt. Like, when we were at Oktoberfest, I did not shit at Oktoberfest. Unless I had already blacked out at that point. But I don't think I did. Or, you know, I did black out and get sick. But I don't think I shit at Oktoberfest. I did piss. And that was the craziest, the most amount of people I've pissed around. That was, you know, of course, I was in the Hofbräu Haus tent that seats over 10,000 people. Needless to say, if it seats 10,000 people, you're going to have a massive fucking bathroom. And there was a massive bathroom, which I do imagine they probably had some stalls somewhere, but I was just pissing, and it's like a really large sink where every guy could just line up and piss. And, you know, at that point, I had had quite a few beers in my system, and didn't bother me that there wasn't any dividers or what have you. You know, I had to piss so bad that it just came out. Just shot right out. No stage fright whatsoever. Although I remember feeling kind of awkward in there. I mean, of course, there was a lot of guys in there. It was quite the line of guys. It was some crazy-ass bukkake going. No, there was no bukkake. But that I was witness of, you know. This is Oktoberfest again. There's millions of people that go there every year. This is the first year ever that they had so many people there. I want to say there's something like 6 million people go to Munich and Oktoberfest, or go to Munich during Oktoberfest, if you will, to drink there and have a good time. And this is the first time in history that it's been going. There's been 100 something Oktoberfests in Munich. Forgot how many they said there were, but it was the first time that it was overcrowded so much they had to shut it down for a few hours on two separate days this last Oktoberfest. So that's, they didn't shut it down the day we were there, but there was still a lot of fucking people in there. There was a lot of dudes just, I didn't see anybody crossing the streams. No Ghostbusters in the house. Or in the tent, if you will. man, this podcast has gone down down the shitter. Which I did watch Christmas Vacation, of course, the Chevy Chase classic film, the other night, Monday night. Watched that, and the shitter's full. It's, you know, tradition. That's usually the one Christmas movie I'll end up watching. And I haven't watched Die Hard yet. I need to watch that on the the old projector, put that up, because, you know, Bruce Willis claims that's not a Christmas movie, but oh, sir, that is not a Christmas movie. That is the Christmas movie. That is just, that is the spirit of Christmas and then some. And you go, you get just McClane, John McClane. My Hans Gruber needs some work on it. It's sad that, you know, from what I understand, you know, I haven't paid too much attention to it. I know I occasionally hear, you know, see a little headline there or so that, you know, Bruce Willis, he's got dementia real bad. I don't know the real solid details, and, you know, the stuff I've seen may have been just like a tabloid article at the store or something, or, you know, whatever, some Facebook shit. So I wouldn't really put a whole lot of confidence in the accuracy of the things I've heard. But apparently, you know, he's pretty bad off with the dementia, and it sounds like he's doesn't have much time left on this planet with us anymore. It's crazy for me to think that there's never going to be another Bruce Willis movie. I'm just so used to there being, you know, John McClane being, you know, I'm waiting for Die Hard 7, you know? I think there's been 5 with Bruce Willis. I believe there's a possibility they could make another Die Hard and then kind of reboot the thing, but that's just not right. Yeah, that it's fucking nuts that there'll never be another Bruce Willis movie. Unless they, you know, pull the AI card or some shit and then just insert him into there. I remember watching Bruce Willis, you know, because I'm old as shit. 44. I should be retired. If I was, you know, a professional athlete, I'd be retired. Shouldn't be doing really physical jobs right now, but I'm doing the most physical job I've ever done in my life. Anyway. I remember when he first got big. That is Bruce Willis, of course, when he was on the show. Oh, son of a bitch. Moonlighting. Moonlighting was the show. Of course, Cybill Shepherd was in there, which I believe she was. I mean, she was definitely in Taxi Driver before that, but she wasn't like the lead in Taxi. She was a pretty big part in Taxi Driver. Man, she was smoking hot back then, Cybill Shepherd. Moonlighting was it was a very entertaining show. I don't remember a whole lot about it now. Oh man, it's crazy looking at the pictures now and seeing young Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd, and seeing Bruce Willis with hair is pretty nuts. That is something I'm not used to. I mean, props to him, man, for, you know, just going bald, just shaving it all. He didn't go the route of, you know, he had plenty of money, you know. By the time he was going bald, he had been starring roles in, you know, big features at that point. He could have just been that guy to get he could have toupeed it. He could have done some kind of, you know, implants and whatnot. But yeah, he decided to go cue ball with it. By the time Pulp Fiction rolled around, he was fully bald there. And, you know, the great role for him in Pulp Fiction, which sadly, the actor, I don't recall his name, but he played Zed in Pulp Fiction, and he was the main bad guy in The Mask, the Jim Carrey mask, not the Cher, Eric Stoltz film. But yeah, he played the bad guy in The Mask, Zed. In Pulp Fiction, and he passed away just the other day, and so it's true now, Zed is dead. That is a great line from Pulp Fiction, which that scene, that's if you don't remember exactly, that's when Bruce Willis and Ving Rhames are attacking each other and end up going through the pawn shop into Zed's pawn shop, which is like one of the greatest scenes in like Tarantino's films, which I think he got from a book or something of that. I don't remember like he had gotten the idea where he'd gotten the idea for that. But they, you know, roll through this pawn shop, kicking the shit out of each other. And that's where they come into Zed. And then, you know, he ties both of them up. He's like, you know, he came into the wrong shop or whatever. I don't remember exactly. It's been a minute since I've watched Pulp Fiction. Been quite a few years, I think. I don't think I've... Did I watch it? I don't think I've watched it yet on the projector. But, of course, I'm going to have to fucking do that now. Fuck. They, you know, Zed takes them to like the basement and ties Ving Rhames and Bruce Willis up and puts like the ball gag in Ving Rhames' mouth. And of course, they bring out the Gimp, and Zed brings out the Gimp. And oh, that scene's so fucking great. Of course, Bruce Willis, you know, manages to get loose while Ving Rhames is getting ass raped by Zed. And then, of course, Bruce Willis gets himself out. And, of course, Ving Rhames, if you're unfamiliar with the Pulp Fiction or forgotten, it's been, you know, 94, I think, is when that movie came out, 1994. Ving Rhames was, you know, a gangster Bruce Willis was a boxer that was supposed to throw a fight and did not throw the fight. And so Marcellus Wallace is Ving Rhames' character. And so he fucks over Marcellus Wallace, who's the guy you don't fuck over. He will, you know, fucking kill you. And Ving Rhames is, that's why he's, you know, trying to kill Bruce Willis, Butch. And of course, Bruce Willis gets out of there. And, you know, Ving Rhames wants to kill Bruce Willis. So he's, you know, when he's leaving the pawn shop after getting himself free, and, you know, Ving Rhames is currently getting ass raped. You know, Bruce Willis sees, you know, the ninja sword, the katana, which I'm wondering, you know, I wonder if that's supposed to be a Hitari Hanzo. That would be great if that was supposed to be a Hitari Hanzo blade, of course, from Kill Bill. This is before he wrote Kill Bill. So, I wonder if, like, Tarantino would say, oh, that was a Hitari Hanzo blade that Bruce Willis had picked up in Pulp Fiction. That would be fantastic. But he sees that sword upstairs and realizes, you know what? I got to go, you know, this Zed thing. Now, Bruce Willis hadn't been raped yet. They were planning on raping, I'm assuming also on raping Bruce Willis, Butch. But of course, you know, downstairs, Zed's going to town on Marcellus Wallace. And Bruce Willis comes back down there with the sword. He's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm fucking, Zed's got to go, baby. And he takes out Zed with the sword. And of course, you know, Marcellus Wallace is like, hey, you know, we cool, you know, whatever. Just never come back here. Just don't come back here. He's like, well, I'm going to get, you know, a couple of my peeps. It's been, again, been too long since I watched Pulp Fiction, exactly how that lines. But that's where the famous line, I'm going to go medieval on his ass. It was pliers and blowtorch, if I remember. We're going to go medieval on his ass, something like that. And which I remember there being a Mad TV sketch where there was a mashup between Forrest Gump and Pulp Fiction where it was Gump talking about going medieval on his ass. But I'm sure that sketch is probably somewhere online. Anyway, I digress. I'm hoping, I'm not getting off as many days for the holiday this year as I have in the last several years at work. Normally, again, this is our slow time of the year, and we shut down the plant for production for at least like a solid week. It's been, I think, a little over a week. It'd be like the last 2 years, I think I had like 9 or 10 straight days off. And this year we're not doing that. They do have two inventory days where there is no production being done, and they do that every year with the inventory, and it's only volunteers. If they don't get enough volunteers, then they, you know, force certain people to work, and it's by seniority. I've got enough seniority now that I do believe they had enough people volunteer for it already, though. It was just posted. I'm just going to take vacation for those days, so I will get off those 2 days and the couple of days for the holidays there, but it's not going to be a week straight, which I'm a bit saddened for. I was really kind of banking on that, hoping on it, but it's kind of nice because I do kind of need the money, and I didn't have enough vacation days. Had we shut down for a week or longer, I didn't have enough vacation days to burn for that whole period of time because, of course, I did black out in Germany. I had to burn some time for that. What I was going to get to is I'm going to try on the 29th to go to the Blues game. I'm hoping for that. It's a Monday. And I was hoping it would be cheaper, but I think it's that close to the holiday. It's, you know, just a couple days before New Year's Eve. There's probably a lot of people already off work. And it's looking at the prices today for the Blues game. I'm not seeing real great deals. Hopefully, as it gets close to that, the prices will go down slightly. I mean, there's a good chance the Blues will continue to suck. I mean, they did beat Chicago. Before I did the podcast, or while I was doing the podcast last week, I should mention, holy shit, that is one of the best performances I've ever seen of a goalie. Joel Hofer, or were they playing, was it the Montreal Canadiens? I believe they were playing that game. I think it was Montreal, or was it Ottawa? There was two back-to-back games. Oh, I guess they were playing Ottawa that game. I think it was Ottawa. Yeah, the Senators. Joel Hofer saved 40 of 41 shots, and the one goal he did give up was on a power play, and it was a power play goal, and, you know, they were really swarming the net, and like, it's just... He was stopping, you know, all but one shot, and he saved 40 shots, you know. And of course, he almost scored a goal on an empty net. Like, he shot on the empty net, just missed it by probably less than a foot. It was, you know, close. He has at least one time, I think, in his career, he has scored an empty netter as a goalie, you know, just like knocking it all the way to the other side. That's fantastic. Of course, you know, you miss, it's icing, kind of a pain in the ass. He did that. He almost scored an empty netter. And then there was, with like 7 seconds to go, they won it 2-1. It wasn't like they destroyed, you know, it wasn't a big offensive showing, but it was enough when your goalie is standing on his head and just blocking pretty much everything that comes at him, with the exception of like one shot. He was fantastic. And at the end, of course, it broke down in just a big fight. Like, the whole team's out there just kicking each other's ass. I don't think anybody got off the bench, that sort of situation. It wasn't that crazy. It wasn't like 90s Blues fights with, like, the Red Wings when they were in the same division. Like, those fucking... That's when everybody cleared the bench and was just fucking going at it. Those fights are awesome. You pull that shit up on YouTube, that shit's fantastic. But this is, you know, about as good as fights get these days. And there was, you know, everybody that was on the ice was getting into a fight. Now, Hofer, I think it was Philip Broberg, had two Ottawa players, like, come at him, like, fucking tag-teaming Broberg. And so Hofer came out and, like, got in on the fight as Broberg was getting double-teamed. And, you know, the rest of the Blues players on the ice were, you know, busy with some other fellas. But, you know, Hofer came out there and, like, it's just fantastic when you see a goalie's getting into the fight. And generally speaking, though, you know, it's a shame we didn't get a goalie fight, because generally if a goalie gets involved in a fight, then the opposing goalie comes over and it's a goalie fight, which is... which is fantastic. But because it was, they had an empty net, the Ottawa Senators goalie did not come over and join in on the fight. Now, of course, the greatest of all time goalie fights, which I think most people would agree on this. Of course, I haven't seen that many goalie fights. It's, you know, pretty rare. This is the Curtis Joseph, the Cujo fight with the Red Wings, Chevalier. And you get the classic line, "Here comes Chevalier." This is just fucking Joseph just fucking destroyed him, man. Fucking destroyed him. Fucking beautiful. Look that shit up on YouTube if you've never seen it. Look up Curtis Joseph fight. I think it's like the only fight he got into his career. He's the only one that I'm aware of that's like, there's footage of. He probably got into a few other fights. It's like the one like goalie fight that I am aware of that he got in. And man, he destroyed Chevalier. It's just like the greatest fight. Well, it was the greatest fight for Curtis Joseph and fans of Curtis Joseph. Chevalier, he had a rough few days at least afterwards. Because, of course, famously, Curtis Joseph, like when he talks about that fight, which any interview with him involving the Blues, they, of course, always bring up Chevalier. And he was, I guess, friends with Chevalier, but he was also friends with Chevalier's roommate who called Cujo the next day to inform him, to tell him how bad Chevalier was, and his eyes were swollen shut and everything. Oh, just beautiful. You gotta love hockey, man. It's just fantastic. I'm not a violent person, but you know, I enjoy watching them get, like, I don't want to see like guys get like seriously hurt. It, you know, that bugs me. I don't want to see somebody get some like, you know, career ending injury or whatnot. But, you know, getting just a couple punches here and there, it's pretty fantastic, you know? And it really gets the crowd going, and especially when you're at the game and just you can hear them down there tossing the gloves and just, that's goodness. But, yeah, again, I'm hopefully going to go to a game on the 29th. It's a Monday. And, you know, the Blues have been pretty hit and miss this year. They're still only really a couple of points back from a playoff spot, as their division is just been kind of all over the place. Nobody's done extraordinarily well. You know, the Winnipeg Jets, who had won the President's Trophy last year, and the Blues lost two in the first round of the playoffs last season, which they should have won. I mean, holy fuck, it went to Game 7. And that Game 7, they were a few seconds from winning that game before Winnipeg tied it up and sent it to overtime. It's just like, holy shit, that game was saddening. That was a sad way to end the season. But they were a paper champ, the Winnipeg Jets, they were, you know? As Hellebuck sucks, Connor Hellebuck really seems to suck in the playoffs. I mean, at home he was good. At home, he was holding his own. Except Game 7, he didn't do well. He did not do well in that Game 7 up until the overtime. He did great in overtime. He didn't allow a fucking shot in overtime, or a goal, rather. But he was pretty awesome in that overtime. But every game he played in St. Louis was terrible. And that Game 7, they really opened it up. And I thought they were going to pull him again, Game 7. And the Blues just let off the gas. They tried to ride their lead, and they gave up like two goals within like the last minute of the fucking game to go to overtime. It was, anyway, what I was going to get to is Winnipeg. You know, that should be a hot ticket game to see Winnipeg, but Winnipeg's done pretty shitty this year, as Connor Hellebuck's been, who is unstoppable during the regular season. You know, he's a Vezina trophy winner and whatnot, but he's, you know, chokes in the playoffs. That's what he likes to do. He's the choke goat. He's been injured, and they have not done well. They are definitely not going to win the President's Trophy. They're not going to be the top team in their conference, and if they even make the playoffs. But there is a game this next Tuesday, I believe it is, that they're playing Winnipeg in St. Louis, and I saw tickets for $14. I'm sure they're nosebleeds. I didn't look up, but like, holy fuck, I got to work the next morning. $14 for tickets? I was like, holy shit, why can't it, the cheapest I've seen for tickets so far for the game on the 29th, which I was hoping too, you know, with the Blues not doing well, that they're doing, they're one of the worst, they have one of the worst records in the NHL. I don't know that they're the worst record. I haven't looked at the standings in a minute. But they're down there. They're they just let Nashville kick the shit out of them, which Nashville, I think, had at least had the worst record in the NHL. They do have some good players. They have Ryan O'Reilly, which was, you know, he was on the Blues Stanley Cup championship team and what have you. But, yeah, $14 for Winnipeg. The cheapest I've seen for the one on the 29th is $54. And I was, you know, I was hoping to find, since it was a Monday game, hoping to find closer to the ice. And not if it's going to be like $200 to sit, you know, anywhere besides mezzanine. Which mezzanine's not bad. I'll sit in the cheaper seats, whatever, you know. Maybe I'll decide to spend a little more. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think that'll be the first game I go to, and I might go to, you know, two or three games this season. We'll see. It's not going to be the six or seven like I went to last season. But I do enjoy going to the game. It's, you know, it's great though that now I can watch the stuff on the projector. It's not really like going to the game, because say it's kind of like going to the, it's not really like going to the game, but you know, it's nicer than watching a normal TV, I guess. Like the TV I previously had. But that's really, really all I've got. As I've been going a while, my throat's getting a little sore. I need to lubricate it. Yes, lubricate that throat so I can slide things down it. And I need to clean that letterbox. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.